Jesus. Mm-hmm. And set him on a pinnacle. Don't you know what a pinnacle is? That's the top of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I go up there and say, y'all say, oh, no, we're going to be good at him. For sure, y'all got to be good at him. Y'all follow me inside the church. Y'all ain't here about the house. Y'all be on the stage. Inside of the church. Because the Holy Ghost don't make you crazy. The Holy Ghost is something that comes from God. And it'll make you happy when nobody's doing you nothing. It'll make you cry when ain't nobody around you. And sometimes you just sit in your own corner and you just think about the goodness of God and how he's done for you and what he's done for you. You just start crying and nobody's done you nothing. No, because that's enough. I don't know what comes to, but when you're full of the Holy Ghost, you don't have to tell nobody that you were born again. You don't have to tell nobody that you've been born again. All you got to do is tell the Lord, I need you. I need you to guide my footsteps. I need you to guide my ways. I'm asking you, Lord, to have mercy on me. I'm asking you, Lord, to guide my feet.
We hope that you were inspired, encouraged, and led to a deeper walk with God with host pastor Reverend Eugene Stevenson. New Jerusalem is located at 708 University Street in Alexandria. Service times are Sunday school at 9:30 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and Wednesday Bible study is at 5 p.m. New Beulah Baptist Church is located at 908 Carlos Street in Boyce, Louisiana, and service times are every second and fourth Sunday at 8:15 a.m. Until the next time, may God bless you and keep you is our prayer.
KAYT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9.
Good morning. Welcome to the Johnson Temple broadcast on KAYT. On behalf of our pastor, Superintendent Maurice Johnson, we would like to thank you for being one of our faithful listeners down through the years. You are invited to join us as we celebrate Superintendent Maurice Johnson for 44 years of service to Johnson Temple, Leesville, Fort Polk, and surrounding communities. This celebration will start with a worship service on Friday, May the 1st at 7 o'clock p.m., with our speaker being Reverend Cedric High, pastor of the New Birth Missionary Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana. This event will continue on Saturday, May the 2nd at 6 o'clock p.m. with a celebration musical featuring the men of spiritual flavor from Alexandria, Louisiana, Glenn Riley and the United Vision Chorale of Beaumont, Texas, and Dr. Corey and Michelle Dotson from Lake Charles, Louisiana. The celebration finale takes place on Sunday, May the 3rd, with our special guest being Dr. Mark Ellis Sr., pastor of the United Christian Faith Ministries, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Dr. Ellis is also the president of the International Sunday School Department of the Church of God in Christ Incorporated. As a reoccurring announcement, we are serving Leesville and surrounding communities through our Feed the Hungry program on the second and fourth Wednesday of each month, 11:30 a.m. to 1 o'clock p.m. During this event, perishable and non-perishable food items, along with a hot meal, are offered to individuals in need, regardless of financial status, and volunteers are always welcome. In today's broadcast, you will hear a powerful message preached by Elder John Owens, one of the associate elders at Johnson Temple. May God bless and keep you is our continual prayer.
Wonderful is what you are to me.
The way we will know the difference between God's way and the devil's way is through prayer. Yeah. Hallelujah. Matthew 6:6 says, watch this. But when you pray, it's not if you're going to pray. He said, when you pray, go into your closet. You don't have to be showboating. You don't have to let everybody know that you're praying. You just pray. Go into your closet and you shut the door and you pray in secret. And the Bible says if you pray in secret, God will reward you openly. You can tell when somebody praying. I say you can tell when somebody praying. Because if you pray, God will bless you openly. You don't have to tell nobody, honey, I pray. Hallelujah. You don't have to run around and brag about you praying because your fruits will tell on you. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. It's the way you act will tell on you. It's the way you react will tell on you. If you pray, you'll know how to act. If you pray, you'll know how to walk. If you pray, you'll know how to talk. If you don't pray, you'll be tossed about with every wind that comes. Every time somebody says something, there you go. Every time somebody look at you funny, there you go. But if you will pray, woo, I'm going to move on. Not only is prayer a communication between you and God, but it is also how we are able to receive the things we need from heaven on earth. We live on this earth, but we want to receive from God from heaven. And the only way that we can receive the things from heaven on earth is to pray. Mark 11:24 said, therefore I say to you, whatsoever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Can I read that again? Do I need to read that again? Reading God's word is what keep our minds and hearts stayed on the Lord. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. David goes on to say in Psalms 119:9-11, God's word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against you. Today, more than ever before, we need, as believers of the Most High God, that we must stand for right and righteousness. If we don't stand on the word of God for what is right, if we don't stand on the word of God for what is right, you will fall for anything. The Bible has already let us know that we will go through some trials and tribulation. Matthew 10:16-19 said, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpent, harmless as a dove, but beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the council and scorn you in their synagogue. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them, to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that same hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speaketh, for it is not you who that speaketh, but the Spirit of your Father who speaketh in you. No matter what we may have to face in this life, we must be committed to the will of God in our life. We should never allow the storms of life. They are coming. But we should never allow the storms of life to cause us to be unmovable in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15 and 50 said, therefore, my beloved brother, be steadfast, unmovable, always abound in the works of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. The book of Esther is a unique book. It is the only book in the Bible out of the 10 chapters never mentioned God's name. But it never mentioned God, although his presence is only implied. The author of the book is unknown. Many early writers, Jews as well as Christians, suggest that Mordecai as the author. You see, today, there we're talking about a young woman who, against all odds, saved a whole nation with the help of Mordecai, her cousin. Esther saved Israel, God's chosen people. You see, when the devil tried to destroy them by the man named Haman, Odessa, which is called Esther, when her father and mother died, Mordecai took her in as his own daughter. Mordecai told Esther, don't let them know who you really are. You see, because God had some things working behind the scene. She was a little Jewish girl without a mother or a father. She might have felt hopeless because she could have only looked at what she doesn't have like we do. Without a mother, without a father, she could have felt like the world was at the end. But look at how God built Esther. And we're talking about a woman building or a man building. But look how God, step by step by step, God built Esther. And watch this. Queen Vesta, I don't know what happened to her. But her king, which was one of the powerful men at that time, he calls her. He was having a banquet. In other words, he was having a party, and she was having a party. Now, when the king got a little tipsy, you know how that is. When the king got a little tipsy, he wanted to show off. He knew he had a beautiful woman, and he was just ready to show off to all the princes that was there. He wanted to say, I want you to see that I got one better than you. Yeah. Woo! But Queen Vesta, when they sent for her, she told him, I ain't coming. I got a party over here, and I ain't coming. So the king got really upset, to the point where they told him, you know how your friends around you say, you know what you need to do, king? You just need to get rid of her. Because if you allow her to do what she did to you, and you the king, guess what my wife would do? They'll want to act the same way that Vesta had. You got to get rid of her. Watch God moving in Esther's life. The Bible said that Esther was fine and beautiful. Now, she didn't have a mother or a father, but she still has something to work with. Huh? She still has something to work with because she had the very thing that she needed. Somebody say amen. And when they said to get rid of Vesta, then they said, just go out and search for all the young, virgin, beautiful women and bring them in and pamper them and oil them down and put perfume on them for a whole year. Hallelujah. Oh, that's some serious stuff there, ain't it? For a whole year. And the Bible said that Esther had favor with the eunuch, and the eunuch gave her stuff ahead of time. See, God's favor ain't fair sometimes. And not only that, but you know, when at that time, when the virgin came before the king to see if they would be fit for the marriage, they would bring stuff out of the treasure. Watch this now. I can imagine that every one of them that was able to grab something probably grabbed a whole handful of stuff. But God touched the eunuch heart and told the eunuch exactly what Esther needed to get. Watch God. Watch God. Esther didn't get a handful of nothing. Esther just got just what the eunuch told her to get. And because Esther was fine, and Esther was beautiful, and Esther was honest, come on now, the king accepted Esther as his wife. Hallelujah. And then Mordecai, watch this now, Mordecai and Haman wasn't getting along at all. Why? Because every time Haman walked by or come to the king court, everybody should have bowed. Everybody bowed but Mordecai. That made Haman mad. He was so upset. And the Bible said, I'm trying to cut across the corner now. The Bible said that when before Haman got his position, there were two other guard keepers that plotted to kill the king. And Mordecai got whipped of it. Watch, I'm telling you, watch God move now. Watch God move. God is working in our life behind the scene, and sometimes we don't even know how God is building us up. And Mordecai got wind of it and told Esther, and Esther told the king. And the king killed, hung both of them on the gallows. So that moved Haman up a couple steps. So after Haman got to the second in charge, he got upset with Mordecai because Mordecai would not bow to him. He said, I'm going to kill that. I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. Matter of fact, he built a hanging post, 50 feet tall. He wanted everybody to see that. He wanted everybody to see that. And then he said to the king, he said, I will pay you money, put it in the treasure, because there are some peoples among you that don't act like us, that don't serve like we serve, don't praise like we praise. He said, now I give you so much money in your treasure that, so that we can kill all them. He's talking about the Jewish people. He wrote it on the letters and was sealed by the king. And he sent it out to every provident. And Mordecai was so upset, so devastated, the Bible said that he pulled off his clothes and put ashes on his body and stayed in the front of the gate. And Esther, I need to tell the story, y'all. And Esther, Esther said, what is wrong with my cousin? He done lost his mind. Don't you know he can't stand in front of the king's gate like that? So Esther sent him some clothes. Mordecai said, I don't want that. He sent Esther the letter. Now, after Esther's son and son of one of the units to find out what was wrong with Mordecai. Hallelujah. And Mordecai sent the letter to her. And she said, you know how we are. Sometimes when God wants us to do something and we don't want to do it, we find all kinds of excuses for it. Esther said, now he called for me in 30 days. And you know if anybody goes to the king and he don't invite us, that's death. But Mordecai reminded her, woo, sometimes somebody need to remind you of why you are where you at and how you got there. Sometimes on your job, you need to be reminded of how you got there. It wasn't on your ability. It wasn't on the way you look and the way you act, but it was because of God's favor that you was there. And God and Mordecai said to Esther, now, if you don't do this, just by chance you don't want to do this. He said, God is still going to work it out. Oh, come on, somebody. He said, God is still going to work it out, maybe through somebody else. And if he do, then your family will be left out. Esther said, I tell you what you do. You send Mordecai this letter. And you tell him to tell all the peoples to fast. You got to pray. You got to pray in order to build. You got to pray. She said, I want you to tell them to pray for 3 days. And after the 3 days, I have to get some order. I got to get some direction. See, if you're going to do anything in this world, you got to get some order. And you got to get some direction. You can't go half-half out there fooling with the devil. Because I tell you, if you do, and the Bible said that the king handed out the scepter and she came in. And the Bible said that the king asked her, Esther, what do you want me to do? I would do whatever you want me to do for on half of the kingdom. Hallelujah. And she said, this is what prayer would do for you. Watch this. She didn't just automatically run out and tell about Haman, but she had a plot. She said, I tell you what, Brother King, my husband, if I found favor in you, let me and Haman have a meeting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And in that meeting, she still didn't say a thing about Haman. Watch God. Watch God. Sometimes we got to learn. I know this ain't no shouting sermon. But I want you to hear this tonight, today. Sometimes we have to have a little patience and allow the Lord to work on your behalf. See, the problem with us, we get in a hurry and we get ahead of God sometimes. And sometimes we have to wait on the Lord. Now, she could have bust Haman out the first time. But she said, if I find favor in you, O king. She said, I want you to set up another banquet with me and Haman. Now, in the midst of that, Haman walks out after having a meeting with the king and the queen. Watch this now. He gets upset because Mordecai won't bow down to him. And he goes back and he's ready to hang him. And his wife, Tim, said, I tell you what you do. You just hang Mordecai. But in the midst of all of that, God is working, God is working, God is working. The king couldn't sleep. The king couldn't sleep, so he got the chronicle. And he began to read about the different things that happened in the chronicle. And he found out that Mordecai had told them that there was somebody that was trying to assassinate the king. And he said, what was done for the man that helped me not to get assassinated? They told him nothing, king. And so the king said, who is coming into court? Because Haman was coming into court to ask, watch this. Haman was coming into court to ask the king, could he hang Mordecai? I don't know about y'all, but watch God work. Well, I like this story. Watch God. He said, let him ride through the town and parade him around. And King said, I tell you what to do. Don't miss none of that out. Do that for Mordecai. He said, do that for Mordecai. Can you imagine Haman's heart drop? A man that he wanted to hang, a man that he hated, now I got to parade him down the street. You don't have to worry about your enemy. I don't know who I'm talking about. I don't know who I'm talking to today. You don't have to worry about your enemies, because if you serve the Lord, he will make your enemies your footstool. Matter of fact, he will make your enemy bless you. Hallelujah. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but you just stand fast in God. Trust the Lord and watch. Somebody said, watch God move on your behalf. And the Bible said that when Esther and the king got back together again to do the second banquet, the king said, Esther, what do you really want? What do you really want? She said, I want my life and my people's life. The king said, now, Haman is sitting right there. Now, this is after he done paraded Mordecai down the street. This is after he done put a ring on Mordecai's finger. This is after he done put a robe on Mordecai's back. This is after he done rolled Mordecai down the city and paraded him. This is after he did all that. Now he's in the banquet with the king and the queen. And she says to the king, that evil man that I'm talking about is Haman. He's sitting right over there. Hallelujah. The king was so upset that he went out of the banquet hall. I don't know what he was doing out there, but he stayed long enough. I said he stayed long enough for the devil to be the devil. Come on, somebody. He stayed long enough for the devil to be the devil. You don't have to worry about the devil, because the devil going to be the devil. If it's in him, it's coming out of him. The Bible said that Haman was laying on Esther. The king came in. He looked and he saw Haman. He said, what kind of man is this? I'm they're putting it in my English now, because that ain't the Bible there. He said, what kind of is this? Got the nerve to not only want to kill my wife, now I want to be nice now. You trying to mess with her. Before that came out of his mouth, The servant came and covered his head. Said the king's, the king.